Shalom, everyone. Wow, what a crowd. Getting bigger every week. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Kohan Hizkiah went overtime, so it's his fault when I go overtime now. Someone said, man, you were really smiling, you know, when you was led into the courthouse. I said, yeah, I'm still rejoicing about it. Not because I was arrested, but because I knew I was serving Yahweh. The world is suffering big time. Now, I don't know if you heard about the earthquake this morning in Chile, but it was a big one, 8.8 on the Richter scale, a massive earthquake shook south central Chile early Saturday morning, killing at least 78, knocking down homes, buildings, hospitals, churches, triggering a tsunami that they're expecting to hit as far away as Japan. Buildings caught fire, the telephone, all the power lines are down, no communication, airports are closed. Never in my life have I experienced a quake like this. It's like the end of the world. That's what he says. It is. It is like the end of the world. I want to show you that today. I'm going to have to pass up Raul again. I hate that. I'm going to get back to it. Maybe in 2010, I'm going to get back to it. This map here shows we're having an enormous amount of earthquakes. Now, but there's some big ones too, of course. And the ones colored in red here, or this is kind of an orange, but it's supposed to be red. But it's between 500 and 900 on the Richter scale. If you can see that, the enormous amount, all of these round spots here are earthquakes. And this is the last 8 to 30 days. The last 8 to 30 days, if you can see those spots. If you can't, if you'll look at this, I have a list of them here. That's page 1 now. Here's page 2. And they're picking up. Page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and 10. Two on page 10. Now that's the amount of earthquakes in just the last few days. The one that hit... The first one that hit Chile was a 6.0. This was at 8:25 a.m. It hit Chile was a 6.1 on the Richter scale. The second one that hit Chile was a 6.9, and then a third one was a 600. I believe there was four altogether that hit there last night. Here it is. No, there are five. There was one offshore, makes six, and then another one hit at 6.2, and then the last one was 8.8. One also hit Japan. This was 2/26, February the 26th. This was a 7.0. On the Richter, 7.0 on the Richter scale. I'm just getting you the big ones here, but as you can see, there's several. On 2/23, 4.5 hit western Iran let me go back up here. 222, 4.7 hit Haiti, and then on 222, one hit the Tonga region, but it was a 6 point, and it was a 7 a.m. And at 221, a 4.8 hit the Indian Ocean, Triple Junction, and then that's the big ones. But as you can see, there's quite a number of others that are fairly large, but and doing damage, killing people, destroying buildings. And with that, I want to go to the scriptures. Now, let's go over to Matthew 24, because we're in the time period for this to start taking place, and it started taking place big time. And of course, as Yeshua shows, he shows that this is going to be just before the end and just before you're called up. The last one, that it will hit New York. Now, there's no telling how many more will hit besides that one in New York. I wrote about this, by the way, in the 70s. If you want to get the book, The Mark of the Beast, you will see about the city that's divided into three parts in that book. I'm pretty sure that's the book I put it in, either one, volume one or two. Yeah, volume one, okay. The Mark of the Beast, written in the 70s, that this was going to take place. And of course, the time period here is for the last days, the seventh Moloch, the time when the great river Euphrates would be dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be fulfilled. Well, here in Matthew 24, I've got to cover all of this, and I know you're well familiar with it, but let's rehearse it anyway so we can get it on the air and get it out to the prophetic word television as quickly as possible. Here in Matthew 24, the Savior leaves the temple, and this is the last time he was there, knowing that it was going to be destroyed. Now, if you're not familiar with all the sermons that I've brought on this, and showing why Yahweh allowed this to be so, Yahweh is fulfilling a plan that was from the beginning, of course, with the seed of Abraham, that is, with the lineage of Abraham, his descendants, and which are more than Isaac, but he chose Isaac and his seed, of course, for a reason. To be frank with you, Isaac and his seed was the worst lot of the bunch. The other descendants that has descended from Abraham were actually more righteous and still are today than the 12 tribes. But he chose them as the worst. Now, that bunch that came out of Egypt is not the worst. You are the worst sitting here in these last days. Yes, the very worst. But as Yahweh has shown through the scriptures, he wanted this to be so because he says that every knee is going to bow to him. They won't all be chosen for eternal life, but there's going to be a great many that will be out of that 12 tribes that he that was fulfilling a purpose, but not the will of Yahweh. The ones that fulfilled the will of Yahweh and kept his laws, like Samuel and Abraham and many of the others, they will have their part in the first resurrection, which this earthquake is leading up to, and as is shown in Revelations, that we hope to get through, get to that today. But in the beginning, when he chose these 12 tribes, he shows you what a monstrous mess he has chosen here, and said, they're all sick, stiff-necked and rebellious people. I know you, you're stiff-necked and rebellious people. Well, in these last days, we have the worst because our breeding, the breeding has gone down so tremendously that, you know, every child born today is born with three strikes against him. The childhood diseases, sickness that is in the children, you don't know if they're going to survive or not when they're born. And of course, the hospitals are trying to save them. They're having operations upon operations, trying to correct things that's wrong in their bodies. Their minds are also defective. But I think Yahweh has proven already in what we have here that he can call out of this world, heal their bodies, bring them to perfection with his laws, and have them walking like Yahshua before the end comes. And that's what we see in the house of Yahweh here today. People that he's called for several years now. I came here in 67. Yahweh brought me here in 67. And of course, in 69, I believe it was, I started putting out the prophetic word, either 69 or 70. And then it has grown from there, like a small seed grown into what we see here today. But this is not all that's that our work has produced. We have people now from all nations that are wanting to come here to keep this feast. I don't know how many of them will make it, but they're certainly wanting to come here to keep this feast. But we're in the end time now. A time period when you're being drawn in all directions from the wants and wishes of somebody told me last night to read something in a commentary, which I did, and they were talking about the group of people that Yahweh is not of the. It's of Abraham's lineage, but it's not of Isaac's lineage. And through Isaac, you know, will all the world be blessed. You'd think, you know, you're looking at the blessings right now, whether you know it or not, these earthquakes are a blessing. Nuclear wars that are building right now is going to be a blessing. It's showing what sin will bring to people. But it's not just showing what sin will bring, you're going to experience it. And this is just the start of it, Yahweh shows. That we're in right now. The worst part is, you won't even, you'll see it, but you'll be called up before that time. Every one of us here, Yahweh willing. And then the worst part will take place will kill so many people. It's pitiful, but this is a blessing that Yahweh is putting out, not only to the earth, but to the whole universe. And when he gets through with this plan, there's not too many, I don't think, that will want to go back and partake of sin again. Now, I know right now you're wanting to hold on to a few bits and pieces of it. This group of people that I was talking about, Yahweh prophesied that they would live in tents. And they're not part of this now. They're not part of the house at this time. But there was a group of them that Yahweh told the prophet Yeremia, go down there and try to get them to smoke marijuana and see what they tell you. Go down there and try to get them to whore around and see what they'll tell you. They'll probably tell you to go to hell. Well, Yeremia did, and of course they refused. But it takes a strong man to resist the pulls of today. I told you about marijuana and people who smoke it. They don't even know what they're doing to their minds. But when new information comes, it's not like they can't hear it with their ears. It's the fact is your brains won't accept it and do anything with it. You know, if it's new to them after they've started smoking marijuana, this drug, you know, that people use, they can't take in, their brains won't take in and use the information that it's impossible for it to do so. Now, you can be healed, you know, you can quit the stuff. I think I could count on one hand all the people that I've seen that were able to quit it. It's harder to quit than smoking cigarettes, because of there's a certain euphoria that you get from this that becomes something that you want in your life, you know, and you just don't want to get rid of it. It's like a love affair or something even stronger than that. But the fact is, it's killing your brain. And you need to really make all efforts to get off of it if you're using this kind of stuff in your body. You can be more joyous without it, I guarantee you. Much more joyous. Praise Yahweh. Well, here in this group that I was telling you about, you know, they're still dwelling in tents today. And Yahweh says, you know, they are going to have a place in the kingdom. Of course, the rebellious Jews that were not called, they're going to have a place in the kingdom too. And not with you. You're going to receive the powers, the great powers, because you believe without seeing. Yahweh doesn't have to coax you with miraculous works, just the pure word of Yahweh and the prophecies and the laws, and you've overcome with it. So, you know, your reward is going to be the greatest. That's what Yahweh says for you in these last days. That's the reason the last are going to be first. You're the worst bunch on the face of the earth, or were, and you're becoming the best people in the whole universe. And as Abraham, you know, you will teach this to others, and Yahweh can depend on you to teach it to others. That's the great thing, that he will be able to depend on you, sending you out as teachers, as guides throughout all eternity to guide the universe and to bring peace and joy and love to the universe, not the fightings and wars and earthquakes and, you know, the destruction that we're seeing here today. As for the other people, yes, they will be tried. They will be resurrected. Some of them have been tried already, and they proved that they would be obedient. But in this article, they were talking about, you know, the way I used to live when I was a child, the way everyone did in Oklahoma when I was a child. And up until 100 years ago, everyone lived this way. That is, they lived without all the technology. But, of course, 100 years ago, they created in you a want for electricity to be piped into your home. Before that, we were making it just fine and very thankful for a kerosene lamp or candles. And that's the way it was in the temple days. Well, now, after you got it, then, of course, you need it. So the want they created then become a need. You wanted water piped into your home, and then that wasn't enough. You wanted it hot. So they piped gas into your homes too. But here in the last days now, in the last days, and the remnant that Yahweh is called in the last days. Now, if you look here, he leaves the temple. And he tells his disciples, don't even look at these things. You know, there's nothing here that is lasting. It was used. It was proven exactly what Yahweh said that they would do. They did. And of course, the rest of it here was they killed the Savior. The whole congregation of Israel, as it had to be by law, killed the Savior, which makes the Romans, that we think was a strange group that come from Mars, and that's what the Catholics want you to believe. You know, some woman from Mars dropped her two sons off that she didn't want, and a she-wolf came and raised them, and one of them killed the other one. That proves what kind of mind they had. Of course, none of that's as false as the rest of the Catholic Church is, all their teaching. It's all a bunch of fairy tales and things that, you know, like Easter eggs and bunny rabbits laying Easter eggs. You know, that's just some more of it. Christmas and Santa Claus carrying a sack on his back and got some flying reindeers that pulls his sleigh. And the televisions now show you that they're coming now. You know, the televisions make it so real to the children, this great lie that they tell. But it's all a bunch of lies. You know, one of the prophets said, we've inherited nothing but lies. And that's what we have in the earth today. The only bright spot on earth, brethren, the salt of the earth, that's you, that's bringing forth the truth in these last days. Well, here now in verse 3, he says, now as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, he was asked to show us the end. When are these things going to take place? When's the temple going to be destroyed, as you're saying here? Because that's what he said. The temple will be destroyed. And, of course, this was about 29, I think, A.D., that he said this. And the temple was destroyed at 70 A.D. So several years later, but it was destroyed. And every stone removed. Every stone of it removed, and the ground, the land there plowed like a field, so no one would even know that one stood there. Now, this didn't take place by a bunch of people from Mars either. It took place from the 12 tribes. That's the only ones that Yahweh is dealing with. It took place from the 12 tribes fighting each other, building up kings to fight one another. That's the kings they wanted, the kings of the east. And you see it all through the Holy Scriptures, the kings of the east. And we're fixing to see the last part of the kings of the east and their destructive ways that they chose when they rejected Samuel. And they were sick, stiff-necked and rebellious, but they were strong, healthy people. More healthy than anyone in the earth because of the fact that Yahweh had given them his laws, his health laws, and they followed them for a while. He says, Yahshua answered and said unto them, be on guard that no one deceive you, for many will come, or the many, as it's written in the original, the many will come against my name, saying that they're anointed and have salvation, and will deceive the many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Then verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Then here comes the famine. I just read you last week the article, 925 million people now suffering famine, suffering starvation. 26,000 people dying each day from starvation and related different things that are related to the starvation in their lives. But also the disease epidemics. There's never been a time like this when there's disease epidemics all over the world. And they're increasing by leaps and bounds. As I just got through saying, every child now is born with one or more. And earthquakes, he says. Earthquakes in place after place. I think Mark puts it even better than that in Mark 13. And he said, all these are the first half. Now, that's the way we translated that, but it's not actually the first half. It's all of these are the first of the sorrows, or these are just the first of the sorrows. It's not a half there. It's it's the first part that he, this is the first of the sorrows that you see, the beginning of it. The diglot you could see that in the diglot. He says, immediately, but after this tribulation of those days, which we're in right now, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Now that we can expect to take place in the very near future. And the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man when he calls us up, when he calls up his people. That's the ones that we're going to be given our powers. It's not just calling us up there to float around on a cloud, but to give us our powers. The sun darkened. Let me see that verse 8. I have a copy of the diglot here. It says, "All but these, a beginning of sorrows." We translated it half, but it's not actually half. Turn over to Mark 13:8 also, and get this one in your mind before we go to Revelations. Mark 13 and verse 8, and he says here the last part, there be famines. We put it turmoils. King James Version translated this troublous times, very troublous times. That's what we're seeing too. Because that's what the word turmoils means anyway. And we put first half here again, but it's not first half. It's a half. It's not even there, but it's the beginnings of it. It's what we're what we started seeing here a few years ago when the book The Nuclear Baby was written, and we gave a date which was the beginning of this sorrowful mess that leads up to 4/5 of the earth's population being destroyed. Let's go over to Revelations now. Revelation 6, and we were in this last week because of something else that took place, and the quartet and the starvation that is taking place in the earth today. 925 million, if you can imagine that, and the numbers growing. They keep showing every day the economy falling, troublous times, the economy falling. People losing their jobs, losing their homes. Home sales are down. Businesses are closing. And every move they have made thus far has not produced anything substantial that you can see at this time. But was it meant to? According to Malachi Martin's plans of the Catholic Church, which is called, he wrote the book called The Keys of This Blood, all of this was planned out. And of course, he was showing in The Keys of This Blood that the Catholic Church is the Aaronic priesthood. That is, they are the ones that rebelled against Samuel, created their own, as Yahweh said, sanctification. They sanctified themselves, but they rebelled against Samuel and started choosing themselves kings. Of course, each kingdom that they created wanted to build itself up into a great empire, and many of them did. Someone said, "Well, what about Nebuchadnezzar?" And I said, "What about him? Well, wasn't he a foreigner of some kind? Wasn't he from another country?" If you start looking at these names here, you'll see that they spoke Hebrew. That was their language. And of course, they don't know where they came from. They speculate on it. They some of the speculations they have is ridiculous. Someone told me I was showing this to in just a very short paragraph. It says, well, it may be this, but somebody is against that because of this. So-and-so has another prediction here or another theory. And there was about nine of these in that little short paragraph that they were trying to figure out where this man came from. Well, I know where he came from. I've told you, they're Jews. They're of the 12 tribes. They split off. They formed kingdoms. They multiplied. They became a multitude of nations. They became a multitude of kingdoms. And there was four of them predicted to rule the whole earth, which they did. And, of course, they brought the kingdom that Yahweh led through Moshe. They took it over by force. Violent men took it over by force. And then the temple was destroyed and the artifacts taken to Rome, the great Roman army. That was the last one of the bunch that Yahweh said would be allowed to rule the earth. They couldn't bring peace. They proved that. Yahweh proved that they cannot bring peace through force or through coaxing. As much coaxing takes place here, still taking place, you know. The Catholic Church said, create music. You know, this will put you in a great mood. A great mood to kill somebody. You know, they use the same music and go out and they train people on these machines. I've never seen one of the games, but they tell me they have the training camps and they have the music going with it, you know, where you can, keep time with the music with your machine gun or throwing your bombs or whatever. But the Catholic Church says, now, just recently, she said, we've got to set up these troops. Don't forget. We've got to set up these troops in Afghanistan and in Iraq to make sure that the people are free to choose. Free to choose. Well, of course, that's free from the laws of Yahweh, free from the teaching of Yahweh. You know what makes the difference in a cruel, vicious killer and a person who is sitting here wanting to become perfect? The Spirit of Yahweh taught to them. Praise Yahweh. Now, you remember what Yahshua said about the Spirit. He said, the laws that I'm teaching you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, if we can keep any of these laws of Yahweh from being taught, we prevent that spirit from prevailing. Now, Yahweh set up his house in these last days, and that's why you are here right now, because you heard the laws taught. And the greatness of those laws and the benefit of those laws. Think about if they were being taught in all the nations, what a change would come over this whole world. You see? But he allowed this through Abraham's seed to be accomplished. And of course, under the leadership of some of the strongest of Abraham's seed, they created several empires. One of them, four of them, is showed in Daniel 2 and also Daniel 7. And the last one was a Roman Empire that would be created among the family of Israel. These weren't foreigners. They weren't of Yahweh, so there's definitely heathen. They're classified as heathen because they don't follow the laws of Yahweh. That's also what a Gentile is. They're classified as heathen in the Holy Scriptures because they don't follow the law. Well, of course, this group now, they created, and Yahweh let this be proven. Yes, here's an empire. Now, this man, he really prevailed. And this is what you see in Daniel. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. I need to get back to Revelation. But this kingdom prevailed. It didn't bring peace. Here come another more powerful kingdom and took it over because it's weak here or there. And so it fell. the only kingdom that won't fall is Yahweh's, he said. Well, all of them fail, all of these. And he says in the last days, in Revelation, Babylon is fallen. Well, you can see it. He said, and this is the way it's going to fall. Right here, the scripture, Yeshua showed you how it's falling. The same way every king fell and every kingdom fell, including the Roman Empire. It crumbled and fell. Now, the religions that were in it, they didn't fall with the empire, but they were fighting. The religions were actually fighting against the politicians. And you could see the hatred and everything building. So it crumbled and fell, divided, and then it went throughout the earth with its teaching. But the empires weren't there trying to bring peace. The empires couldn't bring peace, and they proved it, and that's the only reason Yahweh allowed it to take place. But here now, in this last days, we see another empire trying to be built, called a quartet. A quartet in chapter 6. And he says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, that is Yahshua, this is the Passover Lamb, our Passover Lamb. Our Passover Lamb was butchered by the whole congregation of Israel because they were given the laws, but they never studied the laws. They never tried to keep the laws, so they never found out how beautiful these laws are. So Yahweh said, predicted, I'm going to send you my son and you're going to kill him. The whole congregation of Israel laid hands on this man and killed him. 100% consent. They hung him on the tree. That was our Passover lamb. We don't have to start looking for another Passover lamb. There's no lambs on earth that are undefiled like this lamb was. You could find them back then. Well, maybe we could go to India and get one. No, they're suffering the same as we. Well, where could we go? Pakistan? Maybe Germany? No, Germany's worse than here. Maybe Israel. Surely they have a one without spot or blemish there. No. We just found out that they're having more trouble there than we are here. In 82, I was there, and I couldn't believe my ears when the friend of mine had moved to Israel. His name was Don Montgomery and his family, and they'd bought into a moshav, and he was running a big dairy for this co-op. And he said, I have to have the veterinarian here 3 times a week. That's the average of 3 times a week. He said, sometimes I have them every day trying to keep these cows alive and giving milk. And I said, do you drink this milk, Don? He said, well, we boil it first. Yes, we use it. But I thought then, well, you know, this is a mess, but this is exactly what we're seeing here in the United States today. We got blood in our milk, and the health department allows it. So much blood per cubic inch of milk, which means you got mad cow disease, you got all kinds of antibiotics that's being fed the cows daily in their feed. I think now they're putting the antibiotics in the feeds to where they'll eat it every day. To try to cut down on just some of this. They know they're not stopping at all, but that's some of it. Well, anyway, here's the Lamb now talking to us, and he says, and I saw the Lamb, that's Yahshua, as you'll see in Revelations 1:1, this revelation was given by Yahweh to Yahshua. Yahshua gave it to the heavenly Malachim, who brought it to Yochanan to record. And Yochanan was in prison by this same beastly system because he was arrested too for teaching this. So they took him and put him on the Isle of Patmos. That's where they kept many of their prisoners who they would work in their mines there. When one died, they just replaced him with another Jew, or another Hebrew from the tribe, that was teaching the laws of Yahweh. Well, we'll take you down here to a place, boy, and we'll chain you. We'll put some chains on your feet, and we'll let you teach here in this coal mine while you worked. Well, that's their attitude. That's their love to one another. That's why their kingdom fell, too, because they had no love, as Yahweh said. They were without natural affection, brute beast. Brute beast. Well, this was what we saw in Shaul, and he was changed in a moment. Yahweh proved there that he could take any of this tribes, any of these people out of the tribes who were brute beast, and change their hearts. And he says, here, you go now to my disciples, and they'll teach you what to do. And he did, and he turned out to be a wonderful apostle who wrote us many books and are listed here. He even wrote one to the Romans, too. The Romans, his brothers in Rome. It's called Romans. That's what it's called. Okay, here, saying with a loud voice, and I looked, verse 2, and I looked, and behold, this white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow in his hand, had a bow and a crown, and it was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this, of course, is a false religion, as I've also brought out in the Mark of the Beast in detail. And then he says in verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, and I heard the second creature say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was granted to him who sat up on it to take peace from the earth. Now, we're speaking of the quartet here, who started in 2002. I brought this out last week, but look at it. It's a quartet it's speaking of, and one of them is granted here to take peace from the earth. He was elected president, and President Bush went out and took peace from the earth. And it has not stopped. It is still continuing. He started in Iraq. Then it spread to Afghanistan, then it spread to Iraq, and where will it go next? Well, of course, Malachi Martin predicts it's going to hit all of the Muslim countries, all the people who will not accept Mother Mary, which includes China, if you remember. You heard the bad news about China and all the evil things they're doing. Every place there's people who won't accept Mary, you see a bunch of really bad propaganda. This was one of the things that Malachi Martin said the Catholic Church uses is propaganda to stir up hatred, and then she sends out her crusaders to start building, taking over, killing, taking the children, putting them in orphanage homes. Ran by the Catholic Church, but paid for by your tax dollars, taken care of by the government of the land, of course. And of course, they turn those people then, the children, into people that will accept Mother Mary. This has been going on for centuries now. The Catholic Church with the Pharisees of Book 2. Before that, they were called elders and priests and kings in Book 1. And now they're still called priests and Pontifex Maximus, which means, I think, in place of God. Okay, he now, President Bush, one of the quartet, was given. The power was given to him to take peace from the earth. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the living creature saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you don't hurt the oil and the wine. Of course, you know the year that this was written here. It's fantastic that they would know that they were going to be fighting over the oil and trying to keep the way of life that everyone is grown accustomed to and think they need it or think they got to have it. And of course, this is what they're fighting, exactly what is taking place right now. And when he had opened the fourth seal, let me see, I want to go down to verse 12. Well, maybe we better read on through verse 8. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living, that's the quartet, saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, name of him that sat upon him was Death, and Sheol, the grave, followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. This is the great river Euphrates, as is shown in chapter 9, over a fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates, to kill with the sword, that's with war, and with hunger, remember the 925 million now, starving to death already, kill with hunger, they are given, this power is given to them, over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with sickness and disease. The same is under the authority of this beast. This beast that started, that Daniel showed you in 7, which was the Roman Empire, joined by the little horn, which changed the laws of Yahweh, changed the laws that would guide them to peace was taken away from them. But not only that, they instituted other laws to take their place, laws and pagan holidays. Well, look on down now to verse 12. And I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. If you remember in Matthew 24, verse 29, he shows the same thing that he is showing here in Revelations. The sun became darkened in Matthew 24. Here we have a great earthquake. He showed the earthquakes there. The sun became darkened. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon would not give her light, and the stars fell from heaven. The same thing that he showed in Matthew 24, 29. Stars fell from heaven, fell unto the earth, as a fig tree drops its untimely figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Well, the next thing is, of course, the heavens departing, which that comes at the very end of this. But go back down to Revelations. I don't know if I have time to cover all of that, but let's look. Revelations. Revelations 1. Maybe you could read that later. Let's go to Revelations 11. Read that later, though, with this in mind, and let's go to Revelations 11 because it shows after the quartet here now. You come on over, and it shows you the two witnesses. Revelations 11. The beginning of this shows you Yahshua and how Yahweh has actually put him in control, as Yochanan 5 showed that all judgment is given unto him. He's the one that is able to open the seals and reveal what is in this. If you look at the way the scriptures are written, people have gone crazy trying to figure them out. They wanted to, but they couldn't. Yahshua said that righteous men had searched, you know, trying to find many of them, and it was never revealed unto them. But Yahweh chooses who he would give this knowledge. He showed that over and over throughout the Holy Scriptures. And of course, the works, he chooses his work and when it would be. And but he also chooses the other people and the work that they're doing and whether to allow this or not, what parts of it. And he stops part of it because that it becomes, starts interfering with his plan. Well, here in Revelations 11 now, and he says, he shows the two witnesses here, and he says, there was given unto me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Moloch, the messenger, stood saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines. We did all that at the beginning. In fact, the first time I went to Israel, I got measurements then, and I saw this was more than I could handle. I got help, and we measured that temple mound. We went there several times, but we got the information that I wanted to get that first time. And then the temple model was built, which we still have here somewhere. But this was done. This prophecy was fulfilled. That was part of the prophecy of the two witnesses. But the court which is outside the temple, leave out, measure it not, is given to the Gentiles. And the holy city, they will tread underfoot 42 moons. And I will give power, notice, I will give power now, power, that is, the knowledge of the laws and the prophecies, to my two witnesses. My two witnesses to perform their prophetic office. It's a prophesied office. And they will foretell events about the 1,260 days cast about with darkness. These are, as it were, the two olive trees. This is the two olive trees now spoken of in Zechariah 4, 4 chapter and chapter 5 also. These are the two olive trees. They're not just anyone, but these are the ones I spoke of back here and prophesied. Remember, if it's not prophesied, it's not a work of Yahweh. And he prophesied it in advance by his prophets, as Amosha said, he will have no other work unless it is prophesied by the prophets that Yahshua said were before Yochanan. So this is the two witnesses prophesied of in Zechariah 4 and 5. These are, as it were, the two olive trees and, as it were, the two lampstands ministering for Yahweh or the Father of the earth. In Revelations 11:11 now, Revelations 11:11, we see here, and it's all in the next translation, you'll be able to see it better. But after 3.5 years, or that was the period set that was held back now, if you remember, the spirit of life of Yahweh entered into them. These are people who Yahweh said would be killed, would be done, and they stood up on their feet. This is the same thing that it's speaking of here is the prophecy of the resurrection in chapter 20. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here. Come up here. This is not only speaking of you, brethren, but it's also speaking of the ones that have died before us for the word of Yahweh's sake. For the word of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. The same hour, notice, was a great earthquake, where a tenth part of the cities fell. A tenth part of them fell. Now, if you look on over to chapter 20 here, you'll see exactly what that one is speaking of, chapter 20, because that's the place where we're going up. We will be called up to receive our positions, also the use of our subconscious minds, where the power will be granted us to do the work that Yahweh's plan shows that we would do in the beginning. Oh, chapter 20 now, in verse 4, he says, I saw thrones. Well, these are, of course, judgment seats. All judgment is given unto the Son. And the Son, then, our Passover lamb, if we don't go and screw it up, Someone said we needed to kill a Passover lamb. Brother, you don't need to kill no Passover lamb. You couldn't find a clean one at all anyway. But if you do that, you deny Yeshua. You deny it. You wouldn't be following him at all. But I'm going to bring more on that. I need to get into that right away, too. But don't even think about it. Don't even let anyone put the thought in your mind. Keep your minds clean and on his house, on his work, where he tells you the truth is. Praise Yahweh. And I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Yahweh, that is the laws and the prophecies, and who had not worshipped the beast, nor his likeness, neither had received his mark in their foreheads, nor upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with the Messiah 1,000 years. That is us. That's his house, his remnant right here, plus the ones that we're going to resurrect at that time, plus the ones that have the ones that died before us, but the ones that were proven righteous here, the ones that's proven righteous, like Samuel and so forth. There was several thousand, or maybe million, maybe billion, a bunch. Not all went the way of those who wanted to build great kingdoms and empires. They killed a bunch of the ones that went the other way, that kept living by Yahweh's laws. That's what the whole thing was set up for, was to wipe out Yahweh's way and create kings and a different religion that would give them freedom and sanctify themselves. And that's what they did. So Yahweh said in Romans, in the book that that the Apostle Shaul wrote to the Romans, the people in Rome, he said, you didn't retain Yahweh in your knowledge, and Yahweh gave you up to this reprobate mind, and that's the reason you're doing what you're doing today, all this destruction that you're doing and killing. That's the reason for it. You've defiled your minds. Yahweh gave you up to this for that purpose, to prove what your way brings. Remember, this is all in the plan of Yahweh. But the rest of the dead who did not live by Yahweh's word. Now, this is the problem, because many people are called, but you won't be chosen unless you believe. Unless you humble yourself, not to the ways of the world, not to churches or scattered around. You know, Solomon did that in Israel. That's what turned the people, was the churches saying, oh, I think we have to do this. There's some churches saying we have to kill a Passover lamb. No, brethren, our Passover lamb is already killed. He was killed. He sits as our high priest and king now over the house of Yahweh. These things are just meant to throw you off, to pull you away to a satanic church that is not part of Yahweh's house. It's not found in the scriptures. But they are put here as coaxing, temptation, thorns in the flesh, and so forth. But if you give in to it, you won't be among these that go up with us, who hang on to it, to Yahweh's word, who has prophesied. But the rest of the dead, here's where you will be resurrected. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Hold your place right there and quickly turn over to Yochanan, and I'll show you where you're going to be if you don't hang on to the prophesied house. You're a fool if you don't believe the prophets. That's the first plague. You become a fool. And there won't be any fools in Yahweh's kingdom. But here in chapter 5, here's your Passover lamb talking to you right here. Before the whole congregation of Israel killed him. He says in verse 22, "For the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Look on down to verse 25. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of Yahweh," the voice of the Son of Yahweh. The dead will hear the voice, the spokesman, the trumpeter. Now, I brought that out, brethren, and you're a fool if you don't believe it. We are the trumpeter of Yahshua, the seventh and last. Voice, hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and those who hear will live. Look at verse 27. "And has given him," the Father has given him, "authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man." Not a son of God, but a son of man. You got that? "Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth, those who have practiced righteousness." Those who have practiced righteousness, one of the very first things that Yahweh says is, "Find the place that I choose and go there and do what you're told to do." You can't go wrong. "Practice righteousness will be resurrected in order to live." Those who, in the second resurrection now, is a different story. "And those who have practiced wickedness will be resurrected in order to be damned." We'll go back to Revelation 20 now, because this is the resurrection he's speaking of here. Because we have thrones awaiting us. We have positions awaiting us here at this resurrection. "And I saw thrones," verse 4, Revelation 20, "and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Judgment is given unto our Passover lamb right now. He is going to give it to us. "And I saw the souls of those that were beheaded." I saw the souls of those that were beheaded for their witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, laws and the prophets, and who had not worshipped the beast, that is, not give in to service to the beast, nor his likeness, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with the Messiah 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are up. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they will be priests of Yahweh and of the Messiah and will reign with him 1,000 years. Now, if you go back to chapter 11 here, chapter 11, where the two witnesses are spoken of and the last day's work here, Revelation 11, and look at verse 15, "And the seventh Moloch sounded." Look on down to verse 18. "And the nations were angry, and your wrath has come," that is, your judgment has come, "and the time of the dead," the time of the dead that they should be judged. This is Yahshua resurrecting us and calling us up to give us our position, "that they should be sentenced, and that you should give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to all the saints, to those who reverence your name," by, of course, doing what he says. That's what reverence means. If you'll go back and listen to the tapes, if you didn't get those tapes about reverencing Yahweh, "small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the house of Yahweh was made open for all to see in heaven, and the ark of the covenant, Yahweh's covenant, was seen in the house, and there was lightnings and voices and thunders and so forth. Well, if you look now to Revelations, we covered that, but remember what Revelations 11:11 through 13 said, that this is the time of the resurrection when we're called up. This is the time right here when we will receive our reward. And then if you'll go over, keep that in mind now, and go over to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. We're right at this time, right now. Just a little bit longer. A little bit longer, brethren, and you will see every bit of this taking place. Revelation 16, and notice verse 12. And the sixth Moloch poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water might be dried up, so that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. Might be prepared. Of course, I've been bringing you this way of the kings of the east because it started with, of course, Abraham's children. Now look at verse 17. And the seventh Moloch, when the seventh Moloch sounded, hold your place right there. Look back to chapter 10, Revelations 10. And look at verse 7, 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, now this is right after he gives here the quartet showing we're in that time period. And then he shows here just before he gives, he says, I will give my two witnesses. He says, but in the days of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, that's the voice of Yahshua, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets. In other words, these prophecies, he would give us power to prophesy. That's the reason I have and am bringing to you the prophecies today. Prophecies that even Malachim, Yahweh, heavenly Malachim, tried to understand and couldn't, have been brought to the house of Yahweh in this time period, the full plan of Yahweh. So plain you can see it like you can your hand if you just look at it. All put together. Now, go back to chapter 16 again, and notice verse 12 is the drying up of the Euphrates. Now look on down to verse 17. And the seventh Moloch poured out his bowl in the air. This is a prophecy showing what is taking place and causing the global warming. What is actually the cause of the global warming to take place here? And this prophecy has been given. And verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was the great earthquake. In this same time period now is the great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And it came to pass, and remember this, what I showed you to begin with about the earthquakes increasing and getting larger, more magnitude. And it says, this is going to be the greatest. And it came to pass that the great city that is divided in three parts, this is speaking of New York City, and the cities of the nations, it and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance of Yahweh. Babylon, the place where the Hebrew people took the Hebrew people and they trained them and sent them out to kill. They sent them out to work and become a part of their nation to make it strong. They sent them out to be soldiers, the best of the best, the gladiators. They made soldiers, gave them high rewards. They built an empire, but the empire didn't stand. It had nothing to make it endure. It was a kingdom divided against itself. Now, what does that tell you? Yahweh gave you all of these examples of all four empires that ruled the world, and they all fell for one reason. They were divided against themselves. They did not have a set of righteous laws, and each one says, I want this God to worship, And Constantine says, "Dear, just take this one and all of you worship it. Don't have any other." Well, of course, that God was divided to begin with. You know, he had two gods there that he tried to make one out of. Well, of course, the divisions inside, this is what made each one of them fall. And they fought among themselves all the time. This is what the Catholic Church is doing today. They have nothing to keep them in unity like we do. We have the laws. We have Yahweh's perfect laws, statutes, and judgments. And it keeps us bound together because we are each determined to keep those laws. And you can't be divided if you're that way. Praise Yahweh. Stand with me, brethren. Stand with me and you won't fall. That's what Yahweh showed. Yahweh shows, praise Yahweh, that I will have this Spirit and my seed will have this Spirit that Yahshua, our Lamb, said we would have. May Yahweh bless you. I love you.